Today we're talking about overcoming fear. Let's just read this passage together as we kick off this message. You ready? For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1:7. Give yourself a round of applause. Good job there, guys. Yeah, very good. Okay, you can have a seat. Today we're talking about overcoming fear, and fear is just about everywhere that we turn. I mean, we have fear about our future. We have fear when we look at our finances. We have fear when we think about our family. We have fear oftentimes when we even look at our faith. And wherever we look or wherever we turn, we are often gripped by fear. But the reality is, God doesn't want us to live lives that are dominated by fear. And today we're going to talk about how we can begin to overcome the fear factor. How can we begin to walk in victory and in strength over the things that worry and concern us the most? At the heart of fear is really a fear of a loss of control. And we feel like, well, if I lose control of this area of my life, then I have to be afraid. But the Christian life is about giving over control to the Lord and allowing Him to work in and through our lives. And we're going to see that unfold as we look at our scripture this morning from the Old Testament. Today we're going to look at one of the old passages of the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6 and 7. And the man that we're going to talk about today is Gideon. And Gideon in Judges chapter 6, 2 through 3, the Bible sets the stage for us and tells us, because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. So to kind of set the stage with what's going on in this passage, Gideon, who is a Jew, an Israelite, is just about to be visited by an angel. But before that happens, we know that the Israelites are being dominated by the other eastern peoples. 200 years before the book of Judges, the book of Joshua occurred, and the Israelites conquered the promised land. It was the land that God had promised Abraham that his descendants would one day have. And Joshua came in and they drove out all of the other people that lived in the land of promise. And the Israelites built great cities and great fortresses there. But you know what? They stopped short of fulfilling what God had told them to do. God told them to wipe everybody out. And they only covered a few of the cities. So they didn't quite finish the task that God had given them. Well, the Israelites begin to worship pagan deities. They begin to turn their heart away from God and to worship other things. And the result of that was that God removed His hand of blessing from the Israelites, and all of these Midianites and Amalekites and all these other people that were left in the land began to overrun the Israelites. And so in Judges chapter 6, we find that this is one of the most destitute hours of the nation of Israel. In fact, the people are living in caves, they're living in little makeshift shelters, because every time they would build a house, the Midianites would come in and destroy it. Whenever they started to harvest crops, those would be wiped out. Whenever they started to accumulate livestock, those would be stolen. And so these other eastern peoples are doing everything that they can do to wipe the Israelites out. And they begin to cry out to God and say, God, we need some help. God, do something. And it's in that moment that God began to raise up a leader by the name of Gideon. Look at verse 11 and 12 of Judges chapter 6. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he said, Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. So Gideon's just this normal guy. Nothing special about Gideon. He is threshing wheat in a wine press, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord shows up and makes a special announcement. That's interesting that Gideon's threshing wheat in a wine press. In the 21st century, that doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense to us. But in biblical times, wheat was threshed in areas that were wide open spaces, because as the grain was treaded on by animals or by people, the hull would be separated from the wheat, and it would oftentimes be thrown into the air, and the wind would separate the wheat from the chaff. And so anytime that you're working with wheat, you would always do so in a wide open area. However, Gideon was trying to thresh wheat in a wine press. A wine press was an enclosed building, usually in a circular form made of stone, where grapes would be brought in. They would be stepped on, smashed down, until grape juice was made and then later fermented into wine. This was a totally the opposite kind of place that you would thresh wheat. Why was Gideon in a wine press threshing wheat? He was afraid. He was scared for his life. He was afraid of his future. He was just trying to feed his family. And then all of a sudden, this angel shows up and he calls him what? A mighty hero or a mighty warrior, another translation says. Now, you got to be honest with this, man. I mean, Gideon did not think of himself as a mighty warrior. I mean, he is shaking to death, man. He is afraid. He is scared about the future. He's not about to stick his head out of the wine press and to thresh wheat out in the open field because he knows what would happen. And yet the angel of the Lord shows up and says, "Hey, Gideon, mighty warrior, I want you to know something. I am with you." And Gideon's thinking, man, what in the world is going on here? This angel of the Lord is not just any angel. In fact, the Bible gives us the proper names of several angels, Lucifer, Gabriel, Michael. But this is the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is the Lord himself. And so the Lord himself appears in an angelic form and begins to deliver this message to Gideon of hope and encouragement. Now, Gideon wasn't feeling it at that point. It took him a while to kind of buy in and to understand what was going on. But God begins to refer to him here as the mighty warrior or the mighty hero. And Gideon doesn't have the resume. He doesn't have the background. He doesn't have the education, doesn't have the training. And yet he's spoken to as a mighty warrior. And God speaks to him like he's somebody like Russell Crowe or Vin Diesel. But Gideon sees himself more like Forrest Gump, you know? He sees himself more like Napoleon Dynamite, right? Or Beverly Hills Chihuahua. I mean, that's the way Gideon's thinking of himself, man. He's hiding out in a wine press. And God says, no, you're a mighty warrior. You know what? God always sees the potential in our lives. God sees the things that nobody else sees deep down in our heart. God sees the things in us that nobody else can see, and even including ourselves. God saw the incredible potential there in the life of Gideon. And Gideon didn't see it, and the Israelites didn't see it at first, but God said, you are about to become a mighty, mighty warrior. God just didn't see just what was, but he saw what could become. And God sees the things in us that nobody else sees. See, you may be a new Christ follower. You may be thinking, man, I don't even know if God could use me. I've never read the whole Bible, and going to church is kind of new for me and whatever. You know what? God may look at your life and say, you're going to be one of the great Bible study leaders of the Edge Church. Because God sees your incredible potential. He sees things within you that you've never even thought of. Things that you don't ever imagine. Do you think for one moment that Gideon ever thought that he was going to lead the forces of Israel to defeat the Midianites? Now that's where we're going in just a minute. Gideon never imagined that, but God saw something in his life. God saw something in a little shepherd boy by the name of David. Several weeks ago, we talked about how David conquered Goliath. And David was just a teenager, man. He didn't have a military background. He didn't even have armor when he stepped onto the field of battle. And here he is fighting this huge, massive man that was intimidating and much stronger and much larger and much more experienced. And yet David wiped him out. God saw potential in David before anybody else did. And God sees potential in your life. God wants to use your life. God has a plan for you that exceeds all of your expectations. And so today, as we look at overcoming fear, there's a couple of things that we have to begin to download and to understand. And the first is in verses 15 and 16. See, the angel doesn't answer the question. We try to figure out all the details and all that we need to know, but really what we need to know is simply this, that the Lord is with us. And notice verses 15 and 16. But Lord, Gideon asked, How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Gideon says, now you're calling me a mighty hero, and you're telling me I'm going to go, you know, win on the field of battle, but God, do you know who I am? I come from this little bitty family that nobody's heard of, and I'm the least significant of all my family. You know, I mean, I've got some brothers and some uncles and some aunts that are way more qualified for this. God, why are you bothering me with all this? And he begins to push back a little bit. And you know, the angel doesn't even answer Gideon's question. He doesn't even engage him. You know what all he does? He just gets right to the point. He just looks back at him and says, no, I'll be with you, and you'll strike down all the Midianites together. And Gideon's like, man, I don't get this. You know, God, what are you saying? He just says, I will be with you. I will be with you. And see, the first step to overcoming fear is remembering that God is with us. God is with us. See, then the moment that you begin to feel alone and isolated and all by yourself, that's when fear begins to grip your heart. But you know, you can face overwhelming obstacles, overwhelming challenges, and face them with confidence when you know that somebody is on your side, when you know that the Lord is with you. And so the Lord tells Gideon twice, once in verse 12, a second time in verse 16, I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. See, if we're going to begin to live courageous lives of confidence, if we're going to be people that have faith and not fear, people that can face the future with confidence, can step out on faith and do bold things for God, it begins by knowing that the Lord is with us. Many times we focus more on our problems than we do on the greatness of our God, and that is always a recipe for fear and for failure. See, the life of faith is remembering the greatness of God and that He is with us. Man, God is with you today. And you know what? If you've never begun a relationship with the Lord, today, by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord can now come into your life and be with you. Now the power of the Holy Spirit is the one that's leading and directing and guiding you. And that's why it's so important for us to live with courageous faith, because the way that we do that is we remember that God is with us. God is with us. We're not alone. I read in a book the other day that we have about 50,000 thoughts a day. Could you imagine what it would be like if we could focus the majority of our thinking on the greatness of our God and the fact that God is always with us? Now see, sometimes we leave the Lord, but the Lord doesn't leave us. That's the way it works. God is always faithful. God's the one that's always consistent. We're inconsistent. God is always consistent. We're faithless, but He remains faithful, the Bible says. So God is with us. And the Israelites had turned their back on God. They had worshipped other idols, but God heard their prayer, and He raised up a man by the name of Gideon to deliver them from their oppressors. God oftentimes uses the weakest people, not the quarterback of the football team or the CFO or the president or the most likely to succeed. Those are the folks that we often look to for leadership and for confidence during difficult times. But you know, oftentimes God does things that blow our mind, like raising up people like Gideon. And I tell you what, as I read the scripture here, I kind of get the impression that Gideon's arsenal was probably amounted to having a Swiss Army knife, you know, with a little toothpick on the inside. I mean, Gideon just does not come across like a great military strategist, a great warrior. I mean, he's afraid. He's hiding out in a wine press, thinking, man, God, what have you gotten me into? And yet God used his life. We say things like, well, I'm smart, I'm good looking, and doggone it, people like me. Right? So God should use me too. And oftentimes God says, no. No, I want to use the weakest, the most insignificant, the most unlikely person. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're looking at your resume, you're looking at your background, you're looking at your family, and you're like, I don't know if I really fit the bill. Don't know if I qualify to do great things for God. And yet, I think God may surprise you. You may be shocked at the things that God could do in and through your life if you begin to live by courage and begin to overcome fear. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to those who are discouraged, and He saves those who have lost all hope. Maybe you've even come here this morning and you feel like you've lost all hope. You're wondering, well, man, what does the future hold? Where do I need to go? What choices do I need to make? What does God want me to do? Where is God in the midst of all this mess? It's a question we often ask. How can I know God is with me? Let me give you a couple of scriptures. They're not on your outline, but they're scriptures that I love to think about, and I'll just read them to you quickly. Hebrews 14:6, He is with us when we're in a time of need. Isaiah 59:2, He is with us when we turn away from our own sin. Psalm 34:18, He is near to the brokenhearted. Hebrews 12:3 through 12, He is with us when we are being disciplined by a loving Father. Psalm 145:18, He is near to us when we call upon Him. Leviticus 10:3, He is near when we treat Him as holy. And James 4:8, He is near to us when we draw near to Him. God is with us. God is with us. And the worst feeling in the world is to feel alone. And that's why God told Gideon, look, Gideon, you got a big task, but you know what? I'm with you. Gideon's like, God, give me all the details. Tell me all the little steps. What do I need to do? Where do I need to get an army? Where do I need to get the weapons? Where do we need to have battle training? You know, he's like, ask all those questions. God's like, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. And oftentimes, all we need to know is simply that God is with us. So overcoming fear begins by knowing God is with us. But there's a second thing. Check this out. Remember, God is sending you. Remember, God is sending you. Look at verses 13 and 14. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are the wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? And don't you hear a little sarcasm there? But now the Lord has abandoned us, and He's put us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? See, Gideon was sent by God. God had a task for his life. It began by knowing God was with him. And then the next step was figuring out where God was sending him. And that was to defeat the oppressors. Now, it's interesting that the reference here that Gideon makes is back to the forefathers, to the Jews that were delivered from Egyptian captivity. And he talks about being brought up out of the land of Egypt. He's talking about the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, the Israelites were captive for hundreds of years. And you remember Moses came in and he split the Red Sea and delivered the people. And they followed a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And God fed them supernaturally through this thing called manna, which was like food that just mysteriously kind of appeared on the ground every morning, and it gave them the sustenance that they needed. And I mean, it was spectacular. The book of Exodus is like dynamic and exciting because there's all these amazing things God's doing in the Israelites. But Gideon's like, now God, why aren't you doing some of that kind of stuff? Because we've been getting whooped. You know, the Amalekites, the Midianites, they've been having their way with us here. God, where have you been? And you know, a lot of times what we do is when we get into trouble and we get into difficulties, we begin to blame God for our problems rather than taking personal responsibility. You know, the reality was that the Israelites had left their God. There was no one to blame for the predicament that they were in except themselves. Now, oftentimes we compare ourselves to other people. We say, well, God, you know, you're doing this in their life. Why aren't you doing that in my life? And we get into kind of this comparison game. But notice that the angel of the Lord doesn't even really address that. He just comes back and he just says, no, go in the strength that you have and you will save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? In other words, Gideon, all you need to know is you need to know that you've been sent by God. And by the way, a little footnote here, Gideon, if you follow what I say, good things will happen in your life. Okay, you'll be blessed. So get it together. You know, that's the Ryan Heller footnote there. But the Lord just challenges him. Remember, God is sending you. And Gideon responds with this question. And he begins to focus on the wrong thing. But the angel of the Lord just says, no, I am sending you. And God sends us to a whole variety of areas. Man, God sends us into a marriage. You know, once we make that commitment, we're sent by God. That's God's plan for our lives. We do everything that we can to keep the marriage strong. When we have a job, God sends us into place of employment. God sends us to a church. God sends us to a neighborhood. God sends us into responsibilities. And when we're able to look at our life and go, man, God sent me there. My work is kind of difficult right now, and I would like to leave, but God sent me there. Then it helps us to begin to overcome the fear that we begin to feel when times get hard and difficult and we don't know what to do. And we have this sense, but God sent me here. It gives us the strength that we need to make it through that adversity. And Gideon was thinking, man, how in the world am I going to acquire an army? Why are people going to follow me? I don't even come from the right family. We don't even have any weapons. What are we going to do? But he said, you know what? God sent me. God sent me. That's one of the most powerful things that we can have in our lives and our mind is that sense that God is sending us. Man, God is sending you. God's sending you to the Edge Church. Sometimes being involved in a church is tough. You've got to work hard. It's not always easy. But God sent you. God sent you to a job. God sent you to a family. God sent you to a situation. And know this, that when God's sending you, that God is with you. And when God's with you and God's sending you, you can begin to overcome fear. Okay, God equips us to the things that he sends us to. Gideon was not ready. He had never led an army before. He didn't know where to start. But God was sending him. And that was enough. That was enough. I kind of get the impression here that Gideon, in spite of his lack of qualifications, God equipped him to lead the troops. You know, it's interesting, as you read this battle that we'll get to in just a minute, they didn't even fight a traditional type warfare. The way that they defeated their enemies was something so spectacular and amazing that only God could have thought of this military plan. We'll come to that in just a minute. You know, living the sent life is finding God's direction and pursuing it with all your strength. And we think that if God has sent us, sometimes that everything should be easy. Now, that's another myth that we have. If God sent me, then it should just all be smooth sailing. There should be no difficulties. Everything should just fall perfectly into place. No problem. Not the case. Gideon was sent by God. He still had to go build an army. He still had to get the supplies together. He still had to become a leader. I mean, it wasn't easy. And when God sends you, that doesn't mean that everything just pans out perfectly. But you do have the confidence that God sent you. Okay? There is a difference. Where God sends, he equips. And the question is, well, okay, Ryan, that's cool. And if I had an angel show up and tell me that I needed to do something, then I would be happy to do what the angel said. But I hadn't exactly had any angels visiting my living room lately, right? So how am I supposed to know where God's sending me when I don't have the angel of the Lord dictating what I need to do, right? That's the question. Well, you know, God speaks in a lot of ways. I believe God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through prayer. Those are two powerful ways that God speaks. But you may be thinking, well, I don't know how God speaks through the Bible, or maybe I don't even really read the Bible. Well, you ought to start. You ought to start somewhere and just start the practice of it and see what happens in your life. It'd be awesome. But I'll tell you what, God speaks every Sunday at church. And if you come here with an open heart and open mind, God's going to say something to you. I know that he is. Not because of me, because that's the God that we serve. In fact, in my last church one Sunday, I was preaching a message, and this guy came up to me. It was his first time to be there, and he pulled me aside. He said, Pastor Ryan, come here. He said, hey, I want to ask you a question. He goes, now my wife called you this week and told you to preach on that, right? I said, I don't even know who your wife is. He was like, well, that's her. And he was pointing to her and he was like, and that's her name. And she called and told you to talk about that because she's been telling me I don't need to do that anymore. And that's what you were saying in the message. And so you guys like conspired and put it together. And I said, sir, I've never talked to your wife. I have no idea what you're talking about. I promise you. And this is no conspiracy, right? This is just the power of God's word. And he was so quick to try and dismiss a message that the Lord was communicating to him. I had no idea what he was talking about. That's the way the Lord speaks. That's the way he works. Man, I don't know what's going on in your life, and yet we may open up a passage like Judges chapter 6, and boom, it may be this perfect thing you're facing. So God speaks that way. I want to give you another way that God speaks. This is something I've been chewing on in my own devotion life from the 16th chapter of Acts. Look at this scripture. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So they passed through Mysia, and they went down to Troas, and during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Here's what's going on. Paul's trying to find where God's sending him. He goes to Mysia. That's not the right place. He goes to Bithynia. That's not the right place. He goes to Phrygia. That's not the right place. He goes to Galatia, and he's thinking, man, God, where in the world do you want me to minister? Where are you sending me? Nothing is happening. Nothing's working out. Door shut, door shut, door shut, door shut. Where do I go? It's in that moment that he gets the Macedonian call, a vision of a man in Macedonia asking him to come to Greece, to Europe instead of Asia, and to minister there. This is the first time that the Christian message that we know of has spread to Europe and rather than just in Asia and the Middle East. See, every closed door got Paul that much closer to finding the open door. And if you're trying to find where God is sending you, you need to go up to a door, shake the door handle, see if it turns. If it doesn't turn, go on to the next door handle, shake that door handle. And if that door handle doesn't work, go to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And you know what? If you shake on enough door handles, God is going to show you something. I promise it's true. In fact, when we were beginning our church, we were looking for a place to meet. We were turned down by the first five schools that we went to. No, we don't want a church to meet here, or we already have a church here, or we're not interested, or whatever. Five schools, but we just kept shaking the door handles till we found the one that opened. And that brought us here. This has been a great place for us. So if you're trying to find where God's sending you, just keep shaking the door handles and see what opens. And oftentimes God will speak that way. Powerful. It sounds so pragmatic, it doesn't even sound spiritual. But I want you to know, that's what Acts 16, that's what happened with the Apostle Paul. I'm so excited. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a chance to meet with Pastor Charlie Jones at Fellowship of the Rockies in Pueblo. It's a church that I met with over a year ago to ask them to support our new church plant, to become a partnering church. They weren't able to do that. And a year later, he took me to lunch and he said, "Ryan, we want to join the team. We want to be a partnering church with the Edge Church." This is one of the most exciting churches in Colorado that's now joined our team. When I shook the door a year ago, the door didn't open. But a year later, that same door that was locked now has popped open. So you're trying to find where God's sending you, just keep searching. And don't get discouraged. And don't get angry. And listen, if you have 10 doors that are open, you're going to have a lot more stress trying to figure out which one to go through. Sometimes just we get frustrated when there's only one door that opens, but that one door that opens may be God's way of saying that's exactly where you need to be, right? I mean, if you had five job opportunities, then you wouldn't know which one to take. But if you have one job opportunity, it's a little clear, isn't it? Sometimes we need that, so that can be a blessing. Closed doors are get you that much closer to the open door. That's not all bad. So keep shaking the door handles, the Bible tells us. And as we do that, we begin to see where God is sending us. Where God is sending us. Man, I just can't communicate this enough. When you have that knowledge, you know for sure God has sent you. Then man, you can face all kinds of fear. You can face all kinds of uncertainty. Because you're like, man, God told me to come here. And that's what happened in Gideon's life. Now, the enemy was strong. 135,000 made up the army of the enemy, okay, the Midianites. Gideon, after working his tail off, got 32,000 men together. So he's got a 1-to-4 ratio. All of his men got to kill 4 of the bad guys to win. God says, get up and announce to the men, to the Israelites, that if anybody's afraid, they need to go home and see their mama. Gideon gets up, he says, if you're afraid, time to hit the road. Get out, go see your mama. 22,000 leave. The army of 32,000 is now an army of 10,000. Now, wait a second. We're needing to add to the army, right? We're going the wrong direction. Now he's got a, not a 1 to 4 ratio, but a 1 to 14 ratio. 10,000 versus 135,000. Then God says, army's still too big. Take him down, let him drink out of the river. And the ones that kneel down and lap up the water like dogs, keep those guys. And the guys that drink the water by cupping their hands together, send those guys home. Well, only 300 lapped up the water like dogs. So now he's got an army that went from 10,000 to 300. Now he's got the odds of 1 to 450. How is that supposed to work? Gideon's saying, man, God better have called me. God better have sent me. We're going to be toast. We're in trouble. So Gideon gets his army of 300, and he's like, all right, God, we're ready to get the swords and the spears and all that. And God says, no, 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 it's not that kind of battle. What you need is a trumpet, a clay pot, and a torch. And Gideon's like, what about the switchblades, you know? What about the Uzis? God says, no, that's all you need, those three things. He said, at the appropriate time, you're going to take the pot off the torch, you're going to crash the pot, you're going to blow the trumpet, and you're going to shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon was like, that's the battle plan? Like, when do we sneak up and attack the bad guys? God says, no, that's the battle plan. Okay, they go into the battle, they smash the clay pots, the torches are all over the place, 300 of them. They blast the trumpet for the Lord and Gideon. What happens? Mass confusion goes on in the camp of the Midianites, provoked by the Lord. Now here's the thing. When you look out and you see 300 torches, that actually would only be true of an army that would be like tenfold bigger, right? Because nobody goes into battle with torches. And so when the Midianites looked over and they saw all the torches, they thought that the army was much bigger than it really was. Then they heard all the trumpets, and they thought, man, that's enough trumpets for an army that's three times our size. We're in trouble. And so it created this illusion, and then God brought all this confusion. The Midianites, they all wiped each other out. And the Israelites won the day, and they didn't even hardly fight anybody. Is that not amazing? See, when God is with you, and then God is sending you, you can accomplish great things for Him, and you can overcome fear. So today, wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever fear is gripping your life, today, it's time to take a bold step of faith and to say, man, the Lord is with me, and God is sending me, and I want to live a sent life. And the result of that is that I want to overcome the fear that holds me back from being the person that God wants me to become. Let's just pray together. Father, we come before you today. We acknowledge that, God, we are people that are gripped by fear. And God, we need you today. We need your confidence and your strength and your wisdom and your power to deliver us from our own fears and phobias. And I pray that today, God, we would just begin to live by bold faith and bold confidence in you as we walk with you each day. And while our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed, nobody's moving around, maybe today you don't really even have a relationship with God today. Maybe you're thinking, man, I'd love to know God is with me, but I don't even know how to know that. Man, you could know that God is with you by inviting Jesus Christ to be the leader and the Lord of your life. And maybe you just open your heart to Him and say, Lord, please forgive my sins. Make me a brand new person. I'm putting my faith in what Christ did at the cross and the resurrection so that I can have a new life in you. And by making that faith declaration and praying that prayer today, you can know for sure that God is with you. God is with you. Would you make that your prayer today? Would you just say, Lord, please come into my life and forgive me of my sins and make me a brand new person? I'm trusting Christ today for forgiveness and Lord, just bring new life into my own heart today in Jesus' name. Amen.